Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by Strava Craft Coffee. Remember to use promo code DNVR25. You'll save 25% off your entire purchase of that CBD-infused, deliciously rich, and potentially life-altering Strava Craft Coffee. I'm your host, Drew Kreisman. I'm the managing editor of DNVR Rockies. With me, as always, is beat writer Patrick Lyons. And on this episode, we discuss the Colorado Rockies series split with the Atlanta Braves. Not a good end to the set, but honestly, Patrick, as we're just a few moments removed from it, about as interesting and entertaining and even in some ways, exciting about the future 9-2 losses that you're going to see the Colorado Rockies take. As much as this was definitely a shellacking in a ball game that wasn't close, there was a lot that took place inside of it. We were like, oh, okay, this is some great defense from Brendan Rodgers. He's been showing that off lately. And then obviously two major league debuts. The big news in this one didn't go so great. One that looked like it was going to go incredible and didn't, ended not how you want it to. But let's actually start with that one, Patrick. Julian, let's start with the excitement. Let's start with Will's there too. My heart rate is still up from that inning. Guy comes in, makes his major league debut, sits on 101. Oh, hi.
Dude has some gas, and he's had it for a while. We briefly touched on it the other day. He was coveted by several organizations for the last few years. It's one of the reasons why, if you looked around, he was actually on a couple teams' 40-man rosters, plucked from the Rockies from the Rule 5 draft, and he just wasn't healthy enough. Right. That's how he came back to the Rockies. He was elsewhere, but because of the rules of the Rule 5 draft, they had to give him back, and the Rockies said, aha, now we've got back the man that we need, and he's been really good in the minors, and you saw by his control, if he can just throw it over the plate, even if it's right down the middle, you're going to produce some really solid results. And the Rockies, they haven't had a guy like that in a little while. And so we don't necessarily know what the future holds. He's 25 versus 27, 28, 29, sure. Like right. Some inexperienced players. No, he's still on the younger side, still inexperienced, but it's exciting for right now when – the Rockies aren't playing for too much, just pride and just for general excitement at home, maybe spoiling a couple of team seasons. It's nice to have a guy like Julian Fernandez that if you go out to the ballpark, you're like, hey, you know what? I got to stick around for the sixth or seventh, even if this is a blowout, because I just want to see this dude. I want to look up at the pitch, at the gun, and say, how fast did that go? There is value in that if you're a fan, I think.
Yeah. And it really was. It was electrifying to watch today, even with the Rockies down. And we'll get to Ryan Feltner in a minute. But and like you said, I've been writing some pieces about getting ready to talk about, some of the top 100 prospects of years past and how the Rockies have done with farm systems that were rated well and how they haven't, where they've gotten their value internally over the last couple of years. And so I was just kind of on a lot of those types of lists and things today, as it turned out. And Julian Fernandez is not on any list of any kind anywhere. I looked at a Rockies top 50 prospects that was updated August of this year, and he's not on there. He's not in their top 50, right? So let alone when people talk about, you know, how many guys do they have in the top 100 prospects in all of Major League Baseball? Like, not even close with this dude. But it's, again, one of those things, and you don't know what you have. But if you found something similar to Connor Joe, where, you know, a different, it's way more electric than Connor Joe's, like, taking good at-bats and, like, walking and stuff, have really solid play. This guy comes in hucking it at 102 miles an hour. That is definitely a different thing. There's more excitement there. But in terms of a found thing, right, of value that you could add to your major league roster in the next couple of years that really wasn't being considered or counted as a part of your farm system rankings or as one of your top prospects. If you just have this thing now, that's a big deal. And it's going to be really interesting to see on his FanGraphs page. His fastball is already rated out as a 70 with the potential to turn into an 80. And that's where it tops out. That would give him among the very best fastballs in the game of baseball. That was command, well below league average. And we saw, you know, so that's, you gotta have some of that there. He's gonna have to develop for sure. But Patrick, it really is exciting because they don't have another tool like that in the system. There's nobody else who's like, you know, Zach Veen's speed and Benny Montgomery's speed. That's like 60, 65. By most evaluators, right? Some of these, you know, and those might go up. Those guys are also still 19 years old. But this 70-80 combo, that's the best tool for anybody in the Rockies system. And so that's pretty cool to see it come from this guy who's kind of coming out of nowhere. And we're all going to find out together whether or not he's going to be able to live on that tool.
I like that you brought that up, this idea that, you know, there are tools in baseball. We have five tool players, right? And if you have a guy that can dominate in one area, you might be able to get some value out of that guy. He might not be an all-star, and that's fine, but you can get something out of that guy. And we're seeing it here with Julian Fernandez, where there's not very many people on this earth who can throw that fast. In fact, no one can throw faster than him this year. Thomas Harding tweeted it out, that 102.4 mile per hour fastball that he threw tied Aroldis Chapman's fastest pitch back on July 20th.
Yeah.
So like that's a crucial and really interesting element. And Rockies have a lot of guys that have, you know, above average skills, like 60, 65 in areas. But, and again, they might not be superstars, but they're exciting. Like that was the whole thing of why I was excited for Alan Trejo. And in the past, Josh Fuentes, because I thought their glove and their arm played up really well. And you go, I haven't really heard about this guy because as a total package, they might not be a top 30 prospect
for
an organization. But that one tool is electrifying. I mean, we saw Josh Fuentes plenty of times last year, in particular during the pandemic, over at first base making those plays. And you go, could this guy even, you know, be a gold glove, you know, winner at first base? And he won the player of the week earlier this year.
He could be if he could hit well enough to stay on the field.
But that's an element. Right. But guess what? It's still exciting. Like if you're just an almost an average ball player, you know, and it depends on how you would even define average, right? Almost like a fourth outfielder is an average-ish ball player, right?
Right.
They might not do too many things exciting, right? They might have some big moments if they get the opportunity. But I think having that consistent tool that can be exciting, whether it's defense or it's having a lot of power or for a pitcher or reliever, just that fastball, that's exciting. And that's something to watch for in every game. And I think you see why with relievers, again, you only need that one pitch. And you go, well, you're not going to be a starter. So already you've lost some value in the grand scheme of things.
Sure.
But shoot, just to be able to throw that fast is exciting. Rockies haven't had a guy like that ever, essentially.
Really ever. And now all of a sudden they've got two of them because they have Justin Lawrence too. And remember, his command issues are bigger and more pronounced and actually reflected in how his tools are rated. FanGraphs does have Fernandez with slightly better command. And we saw, you know, it's the slider and changeup. And that's exactly what we saw today. And so this was really interesting strategy and coaching and managing from Bud Black. And I think there's a lot of different kinds of ways you could feel about it, because he dominated that first inning, right? First pitch, one out. You strike out the next two guys, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, strikes out the next two. Happy major league debut. You threw eight pitches. You struck out two guys in this lineup. You only threw one pitch that was under 100 miles an hour, and it was a 92 mile an hour slider that just missed the zone. Call it a day. Live on the happiness of it, right? Could have gone that way. But he leaves him in for a second inning. Not only that, but I would bet, just having kind of rewatched that inning real quickly on the fancy computer machine here, they told him to throw more sliders, and they basically said, okay, we see you. We got you. Show us a little more. Let's see how that other stuff is going to play at the big league level. We're going to need that slider and that changeup to play. And he hung that slider that Austin Riley hit, and it has not yet landed. Ball was absolutely obliterated. But, you know, that's an interesting way to go with it. Like, now try your stuff that you're not as confident with, because he came in and he threw eight fastballs and a slider in his first inning, and they went out, okay, challenged him. He got dinged up a bit, but hopefully he learned something.
Yeah, no problems. I have no problems with him staying like out it. There. And that approach too, like you said, just saying, all right, that's good. Let's work on a second pitch, because as nice as that first inning was, you can't continue to do that over even a small period of time. Like give it a week, 2 weeks, and throwing eight fastballs out of nine pitches, you know, some guys are going to get around on that, and they're going to deposit. They're going to get their timing down, because that's all it is, right? You know, hitting is about timing. Pitching is about messing up that timing. And if Julian Fernandez is going 102, 101 every single time, you go, all right, if I get three shots at that, I'll be able to figure it out. I can put some bat on the ball or straighten it out into fair territory. So you're right. He's got to do those things. So still, overall, flashy first performance, and that's okay. And again, it's exciting, and he's got a month now to work on some things, especially with a lot of guys going down here on this Rockies club, unfortunately.
Yeah, he's going to get chances.
We were hoping it would be more about giving the guys rest, and Buddy, you know, mentioned after Herman's start on Saturday that probably with John Gray coming back, it seems like he might stay just the minimum 10 days on the IL. Then he'll kind of jump in, and so Herman will get an extra day's rest. But we could see some more major league debuts. Frank Duncan. Look up Frank Duncan. Check him out. He could be a thing. He's the 2021 version of Tim Melville.
Yeah.
But I'm all for it. It's okay. Yeah. This time should be a little bit about experimenting, or just see what guys have, because I think there is a lot of room on there's going to be a lot of room on the 40-man roster, and you want to get this right. Like, what are these guys that are all kind of clustered together of, like, they're a little fringy, you know, can we harness this? If we expose them, you know, if someone could take them in a Rule 5, or if they have a potential to be a minor league free agent, you could lose a player. So, you know, you got to be careful. It's not the end of the world if you do lose one of them, but you want to get that call right. And so you're going to be playing around a little bit this month with that roster.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk more about that. It's going to be fun. I'm going to be toasting. Now I'm drinking kombucha today. I had plenty of Breck brews down at the bar last night and the day before. I've reached my Breck brew quota for the weekend, I think. So I'm currently on kombucha hours, but if y'all haven't reached your Breck brew quota, go out and get some. Get a 15 can sampler. You know where to get them. You know you get a bigger one down at the DNVR bar if you're a member of the family. Do become a member of the family today. Subscribe at thednvr.com. You'll get access to all the written content. Sounds like both Patrick and I are both sitting on like three or four half-written articles, so there might be a lot of stuff coming your way over the next couple of weeks here. Especially as there's just a lot to talk about with the way this team winds down. So, you know, subscribe to read about all that. Come hang out in our Discord channel, private chat room, where we're talking Rockies 24/7, all the other sports, pro wrestling. A lot of people, Jacob, I see your question. I'm going to get to that in a minute. The AEW All Out tonight. I think I'm getting it. I think it was talked into. The fiance might be getting it ready now as we speak. And all just hanging out with each other, having a good time, being a member of the family. We'll send you a free shirt when you subscribe for the annual. So don't forget to do all of that stuff today. And hey, if you are out in the area of the DNVR bar, getting that bigger beer for being a member of the family, then you can head on over to Illegal Pete's. It's just down the block right there. Maybe you were out at the ball game today. There's one in Lodo. Wherever you are in Denver, you're probably not too far from an Illegal Pete's. You should never be too far from an Illegal Pete's. Get there, get some burritos or a nice burrito bowl with the potatoes, if that's what you're in. Do some house margs. They'll hook you up with some deals. It's half off drafts or house margs with when you show them a ticket to anything. Go to a game, go to a show, whatever it is. You got a ticket on your phone, show it to them. They'll hook you up. Illegal Pete's is delicious. You know it is. I'm just now reminding you that you're in the mood for some Illegal Pete's.
I haven't eaten dinner yet, so I may even have to drive out to one right now.
There it is.
Click it. One. And mainly, I have all my tickets are on my phone, so I'm gonna click it for my ticket.
No, I love it. Click it for your.
It's a
ticket.
Phrase. I don't think that's been used for anything before.
Yeah, love that.
Unfortunately, I don't think Illegal Pete's has any food that rhymes with "icket." So,
right.
Click it. Take it. You can get a burrito bowl with potato in it.
Right.
From Illegal Pete's. We're working on it. We'll workshop that.
Jacob, we will close out this segment with your super chats. We appreciate you. You know we do. And we'll never dodge the opportunity to throw a little wrestling chat into the conversation. But we do want to get to the Major League debut, the other Major League debut here. And kind of the question around what went on here with Ryan Feltner. Patrick, just give me your general takeaway of what this was and, you know, what it means in either the short or long term and from your perspective.
Well, the Rockies needed a starter, bottom line, right? And they needed to save Chichi Gonzalez, who will probably pitch in this series coming up against San Francisco. And you need your bullpen. And I know they added two guys since the roster's expanded from 26 to 28, but you still needed someone to make a start. And Antonio Santos going forward, for the most part, is going to be a reliever. Jose Mojica, for all intents and purposes, has not been doing well at all down in Albuquerque, unfortunately. He's going to need to figure it out. I think a switch to the bullpen's coming. So that meant adding somebody to the 40-man roster that needed to. Ryan Rollison wasn't quite ready. I think we might see him soon. Even with Peter Lambert being close to getting back, he's coming off Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, so they wanted this to be Rollison, and he just wasn't ready. That's what I've been hearing. But yeah, Lambert and Rollison weren't ready.
Lambert was going to give you maybe four innings anyway, and you were maybe hoping for more than that. And so I think Frank Duncan was a possibility, and we still may see him. Look it up. We'll have to talk more about him another time.
Duncan's a great name.
But Ryan Feltner, huge numbers down in Double A Hartford. Finished up his 14 starts with a 2.85 ERA, actually tied Herman Marquez for one of the high marks for a starter down in Hartford, and all the guys ahead of him in the Yard Goats history books, if you will. They're all names that you already know, and most of them are already with Colorado at this point. So really it was about, well, does he need to go to Albuquerque? What can he learn from going to Albuquerque? Because people, you know, raised some eyebrows at first in a good way. Because you go, hey, maybe this is a new model. Maybe guys don't need to get their brains kicked in Albuquerque in order to be ready to be a Colorado Rockies pitcher. We see a lot of other organizations who do that. We'll have their guys jump from Double A to bring up to the majors. And so that was ultimately the idea behind it. It was like, you know what? We think this guy is ready. And even if he isn't exactly, well, what's the difference between him making his debut in the big leagues versus making it in Albuquerque to a degree? You know, he made a lot of changes in his mechanics, worked on that a lot during the off season, including in his garage with his brother. It allowed him a lot of downtime. You know, guys have been talking about that, this idea that they didn't have to deal with the grind of a normal regular season. Even for minor leaguers when it's a, you know, a 142 game season. So, you know, he was ready, and the numbers were there to support that. And he was a guy that was going to need to be added to the 40-man roster at some point. So why not? give him a shot. And I hope, I do hope that they give him some more opportunities. He can just shake this one off, let it go in many ways, because I think there aren't really many better options. Like, okay, Rolson's is going to come out. We'll see him. Hopefully it'll be enough where he can throw, have some length. But even if Lambert does, you know, come off the 60-day IL, having him pair with Feltner in a game might be great. Like between the two of them, maybe you get 6 or 7 innings where they can work at the major league level and kind of tag team a game. So I hope this isn't the last we see of Ryan Feltner.
Yeah, you know, it'll be really interesting to see what they do with him. He reminds me a lot of a guy. Again, I was just looking through the history books on Baseball Reference last couple of days, and Matt Carosetti was a name that came up, and he kind of reminded me of like these sort of organizational guys that they end up getting to the big leagues, maybe get some opportunities, maybe don't, but then there have been, you know, other guys that really works out for. So he's got good peripherals in the minors. I like that he doesn't walk too many people. He was just living all over the middle of the plate today. He was clearly just, I mean, you could see he couldn't catch his breath in the first inning. Very first pitch he throws, goes yard. That's going to put you on your heels a little bit, right? No time to settle in whatsoever. So yeah, while I'm not of the mind that like, hey, the Rockies could have a real future key cog in the rotation here, let's see what he's got. Again, he's someone you could take from not really being anywhere on your top 30 prospect list, anything like that, but a guy who's been pitching really well. You've got to look at the numbers, take them where they do, and say, maybe this is a solid future bullpen piece for us. Or maybe he is the 7th or 8th, you know, spot starter down the line who can step in. And he'll obviously need to learn from experiences like what he did today and things getting kind of out of hand. But I'm with you. I'd like to see more of him. I do think his best chance at a future here is going to be getting converted into a reliever. And they need that. The Rockies need to be giving tryouts to anyone and everyone who might be able to figure it out at the major league level right now. And like you said, this is the time of the year where you do that, where you see what does and doesn't translate. And if it doesn't translate, well, then you've learned that too. And you can give someone else an opportunity next time around.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the Rockies do this off season with these guys. And again, what they're going to do the final month, because, you know, they have some guys that are unknown. Again, I don't think there's anyone lurking that's going to be this superstar that we don't already know about. I think Elijah Montero is probably the only one. And Ryan Vallade, those are the two guys. I don't think Vallade's quite ready yet. I don't think Montero will get that opportunity. But those would be the two higher level guys that you could say, maybe if everything goes right, they could be all-stars. Whereas Feltner, definitely not Frank Duncan. But again, no. I'm already putting down my guy that I'm trying to put over here. But him and Julian Fernandez, again, these guys are still valuable pieces, or at least could be going forward until that crop down in low A, high A, and some of the guys have been promoted. You know, we saw William McIver, he's already in Hartford, and obviously Michael Toglia is there as well. But for the most part, this is a transition, and it's nice that, and this is what I think the fans want, right? I think a lot of the first part of the season, even when, like, we think back on when CJ Cron wasn't doing very well, we're like, whose spot is he taking?
Right.
And, you know, and then Connor Joe, he's exciting, and there's all these things. And now there's some room for none of the older guys or the veteran guys to take up room for anything. So now let's see. Let's see who was being blocked, so to speak, right?
Right, totally.
I don't think there's too many guys that were really being blocked. But at the same time, let's see who they are, because maybe they could be something going forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's a one-day sample size, but it's hard not to watch what Julian Fernandez just did and go, that could be something.
You like that, yeah.
That could be something.
It's the same thing with, like, Justin Lawrence, where you go, totally. Okay, great first impression. And the results might not match it in some ways, but – I'm impressed. Yeah.
Very impressed. Now let's tune it all up for sure. All right. Speaking of tuning it up, I can get a nice little tune up over on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, placing a couple of bets, finding some things out about myself, about what I really value. That's what you learn about yourself. You know what you really believe in, because you can talk a big game on Twitter or on your podcast or even an article format and say, here's what I think is going to happen. But as soon as you start putting a couple of dollar bills down, you start learning what you really and truly believe. This was a fun series to watch from the DraftKings perspective, for sure. And getting some overs and unders on runs scored and strikeouts and who's going to hit home runs, that kind of stuff. Is Tapia going to be the only guy that gets hits in the game? Things like that that you can bet on, I'm pretty sure. So get there. Download that top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use your promo code DNVR. You'll receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. It's promo code DNVR to get free $200 in bets instantly for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit, $1 wager required, one per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right, Patrick alluded to it there a moment ago. We do have to, speaking of DraftKings, get to our draft king of the game. Not an easy one here. Could have gone with Fernandez just for being exciting, but when you throw up the stat line and still like, he's got a 16-20 ERA after the three earned runs he gave up. We're having fun here, but look, you got to go with Tap. Throwing out a couple of hits, scoring a run. Really the only guy.
The only hits. The couple as in all of the hits. He had all of the hits. He took them all. He had every single one of them. And by every single one, I mean two.
And Charles Cumberbatch Morton was absolutely, I don't know. I don't know what Charlie Morton's middle name is. Today it was paint. He was all over the edge of the strike zone. He pitched a phenomenal baseball game. I know he's been pretty good for quite some time. He's always one of those guys that I feel like is so beatable. I feel like this guy didn't have any dominant stuff. He sits on like 95 with the fastball. Good, but his curveball's good. But again, it's one of those guys where you talk about tools. So here's the difference, right? You don't rate any of his tools at 70 or 80. Like, you're not going, wow, at his fastball like you are William Fernandez. But his command is well above average. All of his pitches are well above average. So there's no one tool that jumps out, but all of them combined. Guy's a hell of a pitcher, and he pitched a hell of a ball game today. You got to tip your cap to Raimel Tapia for being the only guy to figure him out.
Triple, also had a triple on top of that, you know, on top of Morton, who's, you know, been a guy that a lot of people probably forget about when they think about some of the best starting pitchers, because he's in like the back end of the top 20, but it's every year, and has been very valued for a while because of, you know, the movement that he gets and the spin. And you go back and look, and when he was with Pittsburgh, and you see some of his seasons, and you're like, they're okay. And yet teams are still throwing money at him, and he's made $85 million in his career. And you go, Charlie Morton has made $85 million.
Right.
Yes. Okay. We know ball players do get paid really well, but you got to be around for a while and you've got to be productive. And he's been exactly that. So yeah, but good on Tapia for kind of getting back into the groove and feeling comfortable. And it seems like this is now the new pattern, is the final day of a series at home kind of is a tank. And I'll say this. I'm going to say we split the series, because you said two wins. I said three. They only won two. But I say it should be a split, because I did not know there was going to be a major league debut. I was expecting Austin Gomber to come out on Sunday.
That's fair. That's fair.
No, I'm being a sore loser. You got
sometimes
that
you can hedge. Yeah, DraftKings might have let you hedge out of that. Starting pitcher changes. I mean,
yeah, it's like one of those. You go, all right, we'll give you your bet back. You can have it or you can keep it. And you know what? I probably would have kept it and said, yeah, no, it's okay. I think they're still going to get it done today. Yeah. Somehow.
And somehow.
All rookie pitchers. We didn't mention it. We talked about it all time. All nine innings. Rookies. And you still have Lucas Gilbreth waiting in the wings. I would guess that has happened before, but it's probably been, you know, go back to 2017.
Yeah.
Kyle Freeland goes like seven innings and then someone else goes the eighth and the ninth, right? Like,
yeah, they had a bunch of,
but three or four or more pitchers that are rookies.
That was pretty wild.
So this may have to be the most rookies.
The most rookies that the Rockies have ever pitched in a game. It has to be. It has to be.
They're only ones, the only rookies to do it. So yeah,
there was something.
It's fun.
Yeah. Before we get away from Tapia, of course, I had one extra thing to add there. But that actually his first hit really intrigued me. This is a fun, interesting thing from a baseball strategy standpoint. I had never seen anyone do this before. Tapia got down 0-2, 1-2. And when he got the second strike, they shifted on it. They pulled the third baseman over around to the right side. I mean, extreme shift. They had three guys on the right side of the infield and just the shortstop on the left. And Tapia, now he hit a liner to left field that would have been a single regardless of where the infielder's been positioned. But go back and look at where that pitch was and the swing that Tap put on that ball. It was 97 miles an hour up and in. And any other guy is going to try to pull that pitch. That's your best swing there, is to turn on that thing, crank a double in the gap, or put it over the wall, do it.
And that's why they shift, because they say, well, we're also going to throw you a pitch inside, so you can't do anything with it other than do exactly what we're designing for you to do.
And he just refused. He hit that ball to left field on purpose. I've never seen. And then his next two at-bats, he also every at-bat, Raimel Tapia's got two strikes on him. you know how Raimel Tapia at-bats go. He had two strikes on him, and they didn't do it again. And I went, yeah. Well, it surprised me the first time. And when he's so blatantly just like, because he's not a cerebral hitter the way we think of guys like Joey Votto, who's like guessing pitches and going along with pitcher tendencies and all this stuff. Like, but as soon as Tap saw that guy leave the left side of the infield, he just went, I'm going to hit the ball over there and they can't stop me. And he did. I thought it was hilarious.
Like, yeah. Oh. That's impressive. It did make me think, I hope he doesn't continue to try to do that on one that extremely inside, just because like
you're gonna hurt
your hands. There could be an injury happening there. It's like one of those, the videos we've seen, we saw it with Tony Walters earlier this year. He comes around on a slider, a curveball, and it hits him right in the groin. And you're like,
all right.
We got to make adjustments a little bit so you don't get injured. And so I definitely don't want that to happen, but I also think teams probably aren't going to mess with tapping that way going forward.
Yeah, I'm going to keep watching to see if teams consider that, because he does roll it over. He hits it hard on the ground to the right side a lot, so there's some logic there. But I just, if he wants to, he can take the ball the other way. Not a great idea in my opinion. But I thought that was fascinating that they bailed on the strategy for his second two at bats. Of course, it didn't matter for the triple, which he hit off the wall in the center, one hopped. But yeah. It was nice to see him get back out. He's been slow since getting off the IL, so hopefully he's back in a good mode there. And then, well, let's actually, to do this part of the conversation, let's go ahead and get into our 20th and Blaze. I think we should do that. Now, we don't have graphics for you today, those of you watching on the YouTube.
Oh, we do. Oh, we've got graphics.
Oh, they did. That's right. They came in with the graphics.
The graphics angels have our top five here, 20th and Blaze. We'll row through it and kind of pick it apart a little bit as we go. Trevor Story in the bullpen. Trevor's been doing a lot better. The bullpen has been incredibly strong. And again, yeah, we know what Daniel Bard's been doing. He's struggling. But Gilbreth, Tyler Kinley has been performing really well. And overall, as a unit, the numbers have been a lot better. And some of that does have to go with Chacín still holding it down and Carlos Estevez closing out the ninth.
Estevez doing a much better job in the ninth. Obviously, that change has been important. Daniel Bard continues to struggle. For me, the relief performance of the weekend goes to Robert Stevenson. While he doesn't get the save, he saved that game. The Rockies win game 3, 7-6. Because Robert Stevenson was able to go in there and inherit the mess that Daniel Bard left him. He was bases loaded, nobody out. right? One guy came in on a sack fly to center that if it had been just a little bit shallower, maybe that wouldn't even have gotten the job done. And then, you know, you're talking about no runs and he got out of there without any further damage in the eighth. So Robert Stevenson, you know, I've been kind of banging the drum for him for a minute, but agreed. In general, the bullpen's just been better.
Stevenson hasn't given up a run since August 22nd. And in his last 15 games, 2.40 ERA. And his last 30, 3.90. So, like, again, you take that from a Rockies reliever. So good on him. A whole group there. Charlie Blackmon, homers in two consecutive games, going to straightaway center field on Saturday night, kind of getting back in the groove, doing some good things. I think he had an RBI today as well. So, can't say enough about Charlie Blackmon right now. Kind of leading this team, you know, even if the numbers might not entirely support it.
Yeah, 100%. You got to love where Charlie Blackmon is at in terms of his, especially like you said at the end there, like the leadership stuff, going out there, being a role model for the team. Here's how you take a really good at bat, you know, and I think as he's, I think he's also coming to the realization too, that he's going to be a DH moving forward. And that's going to help with the team as well. So I think that's going to help out.
And yes, I did mistake Brendan Rodgers for Charlie Blackmon there. If you weren't paying attention, Rodgers is the guy who had the RBI. All right. Number three, Carlos Estevez. Yeah. We kind of said it last week, like, you know what? Maybe it doesn't really matter if it's Bard or if it's Estevez. And if that's true, who do you want to see in the ninth? Yeah, let's let Carlos do it again. And he's doing it again for the first time since 2016. And it's right. It is right. And so it's great to see him be so successful in that spot.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, man, to see the journey he's gone through in terms of his role and how he was thrust almost immediately into being a closer back when Walt Weiss just needed someone to close games. And that team was actually still kind of competitive at the time. They were hanging around there. I think they were even over 500 when he took over the closer's role as a real true rookie who had, you know, moved very quickly through the final couple of minor league levels and obviously has tapered off and kind of had his ups and downs throughout the year, really been up and down throughout the years, but back in that closer role and handling it well so far. And it's really cool to see.
Number two, Mr. CJ Cron, obviously finished out the month of August incredibly strong, you know, was okay here in this Atlanta series, but what he was still able to do at the end of August on the road, and again, if we're talking about hot players, you know, it's not just today, it's not just this weekend, it's the last week or two, CJ Cron hasn't been just one of the best for the Rockies, he's been one of the best in baseball.
Yeah, he's just been so good. And I was really curious to see if he was going to cool off. I kind of made the joke about how the first game in September, he goes 0-for-5, couple of punch outs. You're like, oh, okay, is he just done? Dominant? And then he just gets right back to it. You even said, I think, at the time, no, he's just one quick rest, and then he's going to get right back at it. And he has been. He hit that ball again in the third game of the set that the Rockies won 7-6. He had a home run to center field that was just absolutely annihilated. And great catch by the young woman with the glove out in center field. Really fantastic catch from that fan.
She might get added to the 40-man roster at this point if guys keep getting injured.
Right.
And number one now, the guy who's – he's now the ace.
Again, look at him go.
Not literally. But we know, like, that's how good this starting rotation is that, you know – guy gets injured here, you know, Marquez, their all-star, you know, is kind of slipping a little bit. There's still going to be somebody that makes 20th and Blaze from the rotation. And Senzatella's performance against Atlanta was really solid after a rough first inning, gave up a home run on the second pitch to Ozzie Albies. And from there, you know, was really solid, went seven innings rather quietly. In fact, during the game, I was like, all right, if Chacin is coming in here in the seventh and Estevez is warming up, are they going back to Bard? And I had to remind myself, no, Estevez went seven. And so he's been a quality start machine going back to the beginning of August. So he's been really great. Only has given up four earned runs in his last 20 innings, six earned runs in his last 27. So doing a fantastic job and keeping guys off base, not giving up the free passes. Love that he's not walking guys. Strikeout numbers might not be that high, but the walk numbers are incredibly low. So you're okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it really is just he's so consistently not terrible. And it's such a weird thing to say about it. It feels like such a backhanded compliment, such damning with faith praise. But when he also gives you what he has for these last couple of weeks, as you point out, then it's much more than that. And that's a great, great asset for the Colorado Rockies to have in their rotation that, quite frankly, you know, was a huge missing piece for a lot of their best teams over the years, whether you're going all the way back to 95 or 2007, or even just looking more recently at 17 and 18 at times where they just needed that guy at the back end of the rotation who you knew you were probably going to get a quality start from. He's almost certainly not going to get totally blown up. Like you said, Patrick, he's not going to walk guys. He's not going to give the game away. He just doesn't give baseball games away. And that that's the thing I love most about Antonio Senzatella. And then when he excels, you can just get that much more excited about it. You're like, oh, all reliable is actually being more than that, more than just reliable. I get really excited when Senzatella pitches well and does those things, goes out the seven innings, like, yeah, at Coors Field. So there's lots of guys who have much better stuff, who are much, frankly, there are a lot of guys who are much better pitchers from an evaluation scouting standpoint than Antonio Senzatella, who, if you took them and put them in his role over the last 4 or 5 years with the Rockies, would not produce these results.
We talk about tools, right? You go ahead, grade his pitches out. You grade that potential. There's other guys you're going to go, there's a lot of names before you get to Antonio Senzatella and say, okay, I want this guy.
Right.
Because all those other guys, they've got some of those better tools or better pitches. And you go, I want those guys a lot earlier than Antonio Senzatella, but they're not here doing it for the fifth consecutive year as well as Senzatella.
That's the thing that just blows my mind. It's just like at some point you also just have to do it. Jeff Hoffman had way better tools than Antonio Senzatella. Jeff Hoffman should have been three times the pitcher that Senzatella is, but he wasn't. Eddie Butler had way more tools. Tyler Anderson, more tools. Now, he wasn't super toolsy, but still more. Huge, big curveball. The changeup was a thing. But there's Antonio Senzatella just doing it, though.
Just doing the damn thing.
Love it. Love it, man.
Speaking of damn things, Jacob with the super chat. What is more of a damn thing? Nolan Arenado trade, a brawl for all. For me, it's Nolan Arenado trade only because I could see the potential of brawl for all. For anyone who doesn't know, in circa 97, 98, they said, hey, let's have these performers, you all know that's what wrestling is, have real boxing matches. I think it was almost ahead of its time because it's like, hey, learn, you know, we've got UFC, we see the success of that, and we've seen a lot of wrestlers and UFC performers kind of go back and forth and straddle that line, right? You know, we've seen Floyd Mayweather, he's boxing, of course. We know Conor McGregor is going to do some seriously good business when he comes over. Brock Lesnar has jumped back and forth. So I feel like it was ahead of its time. Yes, it was a categorical mess, but I could see how it could have been a good idea.
No, it was the worst idea in the history of professional wrestling. It got people seriously hurt. It ruined Bart Gunn's career. It ruined two guys' careers who could have been money makers. It didn't make money, which is the one thing you're supposed to be in the business of doing when you're – it's show business. They're putting on a show. No, the Brawl for All. And that was that a Dark Side of the Ring where they talked about
– this past season. They did do one of those. It's really not that dark other than the injuries, which is dark enough.
Right.
But it wasn't this – it wasn't totally crazy. It's still worth watching.
Right. It's just a good document. You're right. It's like strange to put it there. But, yeah, it just is one of those things that it still blows my mind that they did that, that they had fake fighters, and we don't like to use the word fake, but performative fighters in real fights. And that was just a bad idea.
It would be like if you said, hey, we are going to have the performers in Cirque du Soleil do American Ninja Warriors. And be like, oh, there's people that are breaking their ankles. And like, yeah, but these are great athletes. Like, well, they're in their own lane. They're great, but you can't take one and go to the other.
No, that was tough to watch, you know. So I gotta go with the Brawl for
All. That makes sense. And then All Out tonight, going back to the Chicago area, about 10 matches on the card. One did get scratched. Andrade and Pac is going to be scratched, but
scratched.
Jericho and MJF is a big one.
Yeah.
Miro, Eddie Kingston for the TNT championships.
Miro's not dropping that yet.
Tag team. Yeah, I don't think so either, but I like Kingston's getting the push here. Bucks versus Lucha Brothers for a tag
team. That's my low key match. And that's the one I'm most stoked.
That's going to be great.
Lucha Brothers
wrestled about 25 different times, probably. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Don't care.
It probably will be the match of the night. You're right.
Yeah. Rey Fénix is an alien. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. He's a video game. It's not real.
He's amazing. Women's World Championship. Dr. Britt Baker, DMD versus Chris Statlander. Chris Statlander will beat Dr. Britt Baker.
Oh.
But not tonight.
Okay.
Chris Statlander is she may be the best women's wrestler in the world right now. And I'm glad she's back. After some injuries, and she's criminally underrated. I'm glad to see her getting a push this early.
Yeah, agree there.
CM Punk is back against Darby Allin.
Yeah.
I'm not that interested in this one. I just want to see CM Punk back.
I mean, it's
good star power. That's about right. It, right?
Like, I'm interested to see the two of them. I'm interested to see if he's got chemistry. I like Darby Allin too. I'm into that. Always been huge into Sting. So just kind of, I want to see the presentation more than anything. But like, I guess Punk has to win in his return. You don't do that. I could actually see them doing it because it'd be funny and it'd be a very CM Punk thing to do. But no, I mean, he's got to win in his return.
Or maybe it's a DQ because we have a run-in from Bryan Danielson.
There you go.
Perhaps. And then finally the main event, Kenny Omega, the champion, against Christian Cage.
Yeah.
I see Omega win this one too. I mean, I don't.
We're going chalk here, aren't we?
Really? Are there no upsets? I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe Statlander does then.
Statlander would have to be the one, right?
That seems like the most obvious potential upset here and title switch because I don't see him. Miro's just too good at being the unbeatable monster. I'm holding this belt and you can't take it unless you're amazing. And like,
lost, right?
I think he's undefeated.
So that's going to continue. That's fine.
And I don't see, as much as I love Christian Cage and the return and the whole thing is great. And I love Christian and have for a long time. You can't put the belt on. You can't have him beat Kenny Omega. He's the best professional wrestler in the world. and I love Christian, but he's not the best professional wrestler in the world.
If there wasn't the, you know, transportation issues with Pac, you'd be like, okay, I could see Lucha Brothers, you know, beating, you know, the Young Bucks. But for storyline purposes, your stable has some travel issues. It's going to be hard for that consistency or that storyline. So definite potential tonight for some serious surprises, right? We'll see.
Yeah. All right. Now I'm really excited. Now I'm really ready.
And you're going to be watching it live. So I know in the Discord for all of our subscribers, if you're not subscribing, I mean, just that alone is fun enough just to have a place where you can share all the stuff that's on your mind, movies, TV, and link up with people. Like that's the thing where you could find people in your community that you know are already big sports fans, but they also like this one little niche area because we got niches on niches on niches. That sounded bad, but
I was going to say that I think that's a rap lyric, but slightly altered. Speaking of slightly altered, if you like to get slightly altered, our friends at Solace Meds have got the hookups for you. They're fantastic. They got flower, they got concentrates, they got edibles, they got drinkables, they got non-psychoactive stuff. You just need a little CBD or a little CBN, which is a sleep aid, all kinds of really great stuff that you can get from our friends at Solace Meds. And again, it's on that same road. If you're hanging out at the DNVR bar and Illegal Pete's because you're on Colfax, just swing on down to Solace Meds. They've got fantastic deals going on all the time. Let's see what's going on right now. This is month of September. So 25% off Can America gummies. Those are delicious. 25% off Rockin' cartridges, 20% off Glacier concentrates, and 20% off Strains tinctures. They've also got a Labor Day sale going on. So if you're listening to this, it might be right on Labor Day. They got buy three, get the fourth for 10 cents on, I'm not entirely sure, probably pre-rolls and stuff. So check them out. Use promo code DNVR20 to get 20% off and a free Solace bar or King Cone, whether you're going into one of their super convenient locations or ordering on solacemeds.com. That's SOLACEMeds.com. And again, don't forget to use promo code DNVR20. Again, if you enjoy getting slightly altered. And finally, of course, you got to check out our guy, Bert Kreischer. That's coming up very, very soon. That's Wednesday, right? I'm pretty sure. Yep. Wednesday, September 8th, Bert Kreischer and Mark Norman. I know we're selling this on Bert Kreischer, big Bert Kreischer guy. You gotta love the machine. Gotta love Comfortably Dumb. And the podcast. I know you. I haven't actually been on much on it, but you've listened to some Birdcast, right?
A little bit. Yeah. I've listened to him a little bit, and you know some of the other comedians I listen to. He's friends with all of them,
And they all go on each other's podcasts. Exactly. It's hard to remember who's on what show. I know, right? But Mark Norman should not be buried here. Also super hilarious, really funny dudes, and they're at Red Rocks, which is like the greatest venue in the world. So. Download the Red Rocks app. Get that on your phone. You probably have that anyway, but super convenient. You can get shows, tickets, all kinds of great stuff on there. Keep you updated on what's coming to town. Get there. Get your tickets. Again, it's September 8th. All ages welcome show for Bert Kreischer and Mark Norman at Red Rocks Amphitheater.
The thing that I love most about stand-up comedy or seeing stand-up comedy live, and especially in a venue like this, is when the comedians come on stage to get warmed up, they're going to be riffing about the venue. They're going to be riffing about Denver, about Colorado. And like, that's content that is new. It's original and is only for you that night, ultimately.
Right. Right.
And it's like, wow, no, this is the place. You are real. I'm getting goosebumps now thinking about it. Cause like, that's why you go. It's not just, you know, do the hits from the album that I know, or the bits that I've seen, or, oh, you're recently on, you know, Jimmy Kimmel or whatever it was. Like, no, there's going to be that fresh stuff. And yeah, maybe later on there may be a bit that, you know, or a topic that's, you know, in the news, it's specifically catered to you. And so I may have to actually use that code to go ahead and get tickets for Wednesday night. Cause I want to see what Bert has to say, what Mark has to say. They're great.
Yeah. All right, Patrick, let's do a little real quick look forward here. Another weird schedule. I don't know what the schedule makers were on this year. Maybe COVID messed everybody up. I'm giving everybody a pass, but we got...
You got a problem with a 2:10 game on a Monday? Well, it's Labor Day, but still 2:10?
Still, yeah. The 2:10s are weird. But we got two afternoon games. We're going afternoon, evening, afternoon at the Giants. Giants at the Rockies. They're still here at Coors Field. Don't worry. I know where I am most of the time. And as we've talked about, some of the pitching still up in the air. Freeland versus Gausman, though. How about that? Start things off. A couple of Colorado kids celebrating Colorado on a celebrating day of celebrating.
I think that's huge. Cool. That's so fantastic. That's, you know, if you can make it out to the game, great. If not, you watch it on TV, because that's kind of a big moment. Like this. Yeah. There are going to be people watching at home, and I hope it doesn't get kind of lost and everything, because it is Labor Day. But there's going to be some kids out there. This could be a moment that, you know, changes some lives out there. It's not going to change the world. It's not going to change, you know, the face of Colorado baseball, all of those things. but it has some serious impact, that reminder too. You know, if you're getting a little league ball player, you're in high school, you're looking around going, I'm going to keep playing ball and I'm going to, you know, keep the dream alive. But for the most part, nobody comes out of Colorado. Like, it just, it doesn't happen. And this is a reminder that it's not impossible. People do come out of the state, and that here they are together at Coors Field again. You know, Gausman, who didn't pitch in at the All-Star game. I was there. I actually spoke with him, and he said, "Well, you know, I'm slated to start the first game after the All-Star break, so that's kind of more important. Giants trying to win the NL West. He's going for a Cy Young Award. You know, he's kind of taking a step back a little bit, but they're bigger fish to fry. And yet." He's still able to come back, make a start at Coors Field, and it's against Thomas Jefferson High's own Kyle Freeland.
Amazing.
Can't write that.
Nope, you could not. You couldn't make it up. It just worked out that way. Rockies, looks like they're still to be determined for those next couple. They were talking on the broadcast today. Chi-Chi probably going to get one of these games. And then, as you were saying earlier, I still think it's probably a little early for Rolison. But
we send a tell again.
Could be, send a tell. There's a couple of ways they could go with that. But are you sticking with your? So I had a split and then a win. You had winning then losing.
I don't know if I want to change and say they're going to take two out of three. I think they're still just going to win one here.
Just the one. So the Giants would become only the third team since May 12th to win a series against the Rockies at Coors Field, as Atlanta was unable to do so here in the four-gamer. Yeah. I mean, they need it, man. They need to get back going here. They don't want to slide too far. They're going to be playing all out, that's for sure. The Rockies are going to get the absolute best of the San Francisco Giants over the next couple of days. So we'll see.
I just got back Tommy La Stella, so I mean, whoa! Talk about some firepower there. But he's active now. He's back, and you know, we'll see what's left of them after the Dodgers game, because I think they're playing tonight. So
right,
if Walker Buehler carves them up a little bit, something fierce. We'll see what happens. So they may need to make up for that here in Colorado. Mm-hmm.
And as you said, the Rockies are both transitioning into let's give some guys some opportunities mode, and have had some health issues. You know, they're not at their absolute best right now, which is interesting. They're still able to split with Atlanta. That team is stacked.
In close games, too. I mean, the first three were all close, but they stole two of the – they didn't steal them. They won those games.
Yeah.
Even after being behind early, like, they won those close ball games, which, again – that's why we had to give the shout out to the bullpen on 20th and Blaze, is because they were a part of the wins on Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah. Charlie Blackman had a grand slam in the game they lost. So you're like, oh, this is wild. Traditional logic based on the pitching matchups and the caliber of the team says the Giants should take two of three here. I got the Rockies winning two. I don't know which two. I don't know how. I don't know why. But I think they're just going to keep winning these series at home. I'm looking now. They've only got the Dodgers, the Giants, and the Nationals left in one last homestand after this. So the Dodgers have a chance to have beaten the Rockies in Coors three times. If they get them there, that's going to be annoying because nobody else has been able to beat the Dodgers. You know, the Dodgers. And the Giants will have another shot at it as well. So am I going to take them to lose another home series? We'll see how they're playing when the Dodgers come to town. For right now, no.
By the way, do you realize that three of the four games in the series were under 3 hours? And that Saturday night's game was 3 hours and 10 minutes.
Wow.
I need to go back and look to see if these four games were played quicker than another three-game series.
Yeah, totally.
Their games have actually been – I mean, they've dragged. There's been some of them that have dragged. But for the most part, going through and going back and looking, a lot of the long ones are just like in the 3:30 range. Like, those are the high-end ones. But for the most part, you know, I think the average time of game might be down a little bit. That Milwaukee series, 329, 330, 340, 335, you know, so not a lot longer, but if you remember that series, it felt a lot longer than that, right?
It felt a lot longer. Now, these were crisp, mostly well-played baseball games, yeah. Like you said, until the very last one there were. And that mostly was just, you know, Feltner in one inning, gave up five runs, you know, just couldn't. Turned out it wasn't quite ready. He's throwing too many fastballs over the middle of the plate. These guys are big league hitters, and they can hit that. And now he knows that. all right, so thanks for hanging out with us for this one. Like I said, we'll be watching this Giants series very closely, see how the Rockies play it, see how the Coors Magic and whatever else can handle against this team still very much battling for the NL West crown, getting into the final stretches here. So it's going to get more and more exciting in terms of the stakes, more for the other teams, but still, they're stakes. And so games with stakes are just fun to watch, especially when you are such a pain in the ass to beat at home. No one wants to come here and play the Rockies right now. They just don't. The Giants are not excited. They're not like, oh, okay, good. As soon as we're done with the Dodgers, we get a little break. We get to go to Colorado and play the Rockies. If that is their mentality, they're in for a rude awakening the next couple of days. Yeah. So, all right, everyone. Thanks for hanging out with us, watching all of these. We appreciate you. Jacob, we appreciate your super chats. Remember that you can do that when you're here on the YouTube and you're joining us live. You can help drive the conversation. Leave your comments and questions there. Of course, if you're subscribed to the DNVR.com, you get all the stuff, the bigger beers, the free shirt, but the Discord channel access so that you can be giving us your questions there, talking to us about wrestling or anything else that you want us to talk about. We will give you our opinions, even if it's something we don't know about. We will give a breakdown. If you super chat it, we will give you our predictions for dressage. You know, I think they're not doing it. I'm sure somewhere someone's doing dressage. And if you want us to predict that.
Horses. I know it's about horses.
I know it's about horses. Nailed it. So also make sure you're following on social media at Drew Creaseman, at Patrick D. Lyons, and at DNVR. _Rockies. We thank you all for continuing to be absolutely awesome baseball fans out there. We do promise we will continue to be absolutely Patrick Lyons and a Drew Creaseman in here. And until next time, we will see you at the ballpark.